This summer, the New Mexico Museum of Art welcomes visitors into the colorful world of Patrick Nagatani, the Albuquerque-based photographer who passed away last year after a long teaching career at UNM, was known for constructing and staging dreamlike tableaus for his camera. I'm Spencer Beckwith, and with me at KUNM is the museum's curator of photography, Catherine Ware. Kate, welcome.
Thanks, Spencer. What a delight.
You are calling the Nagatani show invented realities. That's a phrase that could be applied to the work of just about any artist, but it's particularly apt for Patrick Nagatani.
That's right. It's such a loaded term. But Patrick was somebody who really did invent worlds for us to visit and enjoy, and he really reveled in that.
He was a pioneer in what we call directorial photography. What is that exactly?
That was a new impulse in maybe the late 70s and into the 1980s. And the phrase itself was coined by the eminent photo historian A.D. Coleman in 1976. And he was looking for a term to describe staged and constructed photography that some artists were doing at the time.
Was it that artists in the 70s and 80s were sort of fed up with the limitations of photography? Is that why they started staging things?
Well, it was kind of a pushback. And Patrick Nagatani, for instance, was really interested in what happens behind the scenes and really breaking that illusion of photographic reality. And so that's part of what the title and part of what the work is very much about is letting people in on the joke in a way and showing them how things are constructed and that photography isn't really just reality, quote unquote, in front of the camera.
With the implication being that all photography is to some extent constructed.
That's right. It absolutely is. And this is a great exhibition for trying to help people see that behind the scenes a little bit and to think about the choices that artists make with photography. Because I think it is still tough for people to believe that it's not the real world they're seeing.
Early in his career, Patrick Nagatani worked as a special effects guy in Hollywood. Blade Runner, Close Encounters of the Third Kind he worked on. You can see that influence in his work.
Yes, and he loved making models. He made models for his still photographs. I think that was a really key thing for him. And of course, working in model-making studios for movies, you are constructing reality. You are making up something that you are going to try to convince people is real when they watch it cinematically. So that was very much something that he applied to his own work.
Now, when we say he was constructing and setting these scenes, what was he constructing?
One of the things we have in the exhibition, and we're so fortunate to have a loan from the Albuquerque Museum, Patrick worked with a painter friend, Andre Tracy, and they got the opportunity to work with this large format Polaroid camera. So most people know the little Polaroids that used to spit out of a camera and be great for party pictures. But this was a 20 by 24 inch machine, and there were only about five of them. So if you got a chance to work with them, you had to go to the camera. So he and Andre would pack up all of their goodies and their fishing line and props that they had made and backdrops and go and make a very shallow set on site that they would then photograph. So that we have one of the murals. We have two of the murals by Andre Tracy in the exhibition in Santa Fe that go with the photographs that are next to them. So you really see them making the backdrop, putting cutouts in front of them, creating a grid for overhead from which they could hang props and so forth and so on. And then they often sometimes popped into the picture themselves.
This is very similar to what they used to do in the 19th century, the sort of tableau vivant, right?
Wonderful. That's right. It is part of the photographic tradition.
Unlike Hollywood movies, which he worked on, Nagatani didn't seem interested in convincing viewers that his worlds were real. He showed the seams. Now, why would he do that?
My take on that is that he was really interested in breaking that fallacy of photographic veracity, that sense of that it tells the truth. And he's letting people in on the joke by showing you the the fishing line that's holding the fish hanging from the ceiling.
The exhibit shows that Nagatani had subjects and stories that he liked to tell over and over again. What were those?
One of the things people talk about with Patrick Nagatani is that he is a storyteller. And in working on the show and having the pictures up, I'm not sure that really is the right term. Most of us think of storytelling, a story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. These are more vignettes in some ways. They're stories that are very nonlinear. But one of the most interesting things was looking across his career and seeing some of these themes to which he returned. There really is a personal story there, and in some ways it's a personal story of one family, but he places that in a historical context so that it's something that's resonant for all of us. And he had the experience of being from a family who looked Asian, and so they look different. They're identified as being other, although he was a 100% American boy. There were a lot of aspects to his history as a Japanese American that he pursued throughout his work. Patrick was born in August of 1945, not long after the detonation of the atomic bomb over Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And once he came to New Mexico, that really became a very serious pursuit. And I do think one of his most lasting bodies of work will be Nuclear Enchantment, which he made here soon after he came to New Mexico to teach at UNM. This was an extended series to really look at New Mexico's legacy in relationship to atomic energy.
One of the first things that you notice about Nagatani's photographs is the color, this really saturated, beautiful color. Is there significance to his use of color other than the fact that it's just terrific to look at?
Well, it's larger than life, that's for sure. And I think that was part of it. That really fits in with what we were talking about in terms of creating a fictional world. But some of it, I think, really has to do with photography and where photography was as a medium at that point. In the late 70s, artists were just starting to use color processes. They were not known for their longevity, and they were really shunned as something that was used more for advertising. So a younger generation picked up that thread and decided to explore the possibilities of color. And because he was working with Polaroid and then later with something called Cibachrome, both of which are known for their just intense, glossy, saturated color, he really made the most of that. And some of that was used in symbolic ways, but I think some of it was really, he was really attracted to that color. And often it does signal that things are not right with this world. So you'll see a deep red. You will also see kind of an acid green frequently.
There is very definitely a sly sense of humor in Nagatani's work. I think he wanted us to be amused or at least delighted by what he produced.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. He was funny. But that really does belie the very serious subjects that he treated in his work. We mentioned nuclear issues, environmental issues, how we treat one another as human beings. But what I think that's about is, aside from reflecting his personality, is how do we reach people with a message? And for me, humor is one of the best ways to break through people's defenses and to get inside. And once you're inside, you can wreak all kinds of havoc.
Nagatani came to Albuquerque from California to teach at the University of New Mexico. What effect do you think, Kate, being in New Mexico had on the work he produced?
Well, I think he really found his home here. Los Angeles was a very important place for him as well, and he kept those relationships. But this is where he really found a community of artists, and certainly the community of artists at UNM, who became so influential in terms of that program and all of the people they taught. But needless to say, the pursuit of the nuclear theme was also a really critical part of his career, and that was something that he did here.
Your show at the New Mexico Museum of Art is one of three shows about Nagatani that's going on right now, Albuquerque Museum of Art, also the UNM Art Museum. Why did you want to focus on Nagatani? What is it that's important about him that we need to be reminding museum goers about right now?
Patrick was very generous in donating his work to some of the institutions in New Mexico, and we were certainly a beneficiary of that. So we did want to honor that donation. But because he died at the end of last year, that also provided us with an opportunity to look across his whole career. And I know artists don't really like the idea that we only pay attention to them after they die, but I will say that one can really take a different view when the work is finished. And I think this is going to be a really interesting time with the three shows that will be up in New Mexico this summer to really take a hard look at his work and see the interconnections and find some new meaning. I certainly have really benefited from that opportunity and looking at his work a little differently.
Kate Ware has curated a survey of the photographs of Patrick Nagatani, a longtime UNM professor of art who passed away last year. The show runs through the summer at the New Mexico Museum of Art on the Santa Fe Plaza. Details at KUNM.org. I'm Spencer Beckwith.